Good morning, Wake. Before we start, quick question. Are there any Astros fans in the room today? Okay, we got a couple. You're all going to hate me for this, but as a Yankees fan, I want to congratulate you guys on getting your first World Series that actually counts, that you didn't cheat for. So congratulations, Astros fans. It's okay. It's fine. I had to get a shot in on Brian. Good morning, guys. My name is Michael Lewis. I am the men's coordinator for the college ministry here at Watermark. And so to start off, I've got a couple pictures. Hopefully to help relate to you guys. That was me when I was y'all's age, so it's tough if you scroll through. I've had a Facebook long enough that it's tough. That was my wife when she was y'all's age. She's the fourth from the left, so she was actually a student here, went through Wake at Watermark. I'm going to be in trouble later for showing this photo. And then if you go to the third photo, this is us now. A couple months ago, we went curling. As you can tell, Mississippi State. I went to Mississippi State for college. It's okay if you don't like that. But diehard curling fan randomly, and so if you're also a curling fan, come find me afterwards. I'd love to talk about it, but we went curling. None of that has anything to do with the talk today. I just wanted to let y'all know a little bit more about me because the talk itself actually applies a lot. And so this week we are kicking off a new series called Habits of Grace. And so two key words there, habits and grace. Habits is just a regular tendency or practice, and then grace is an unmerited gift. So a regular habit or practice that helps you experience an unmerited gift. And so our goal throughout this whole series and starting today is to show you guys that there are practices that God has given us to help us have a deeper relationship with him. They're not a checklist. And so for me, for most of my life, even all through junior high and high school, religion in a lot of ways was just a bunch of different boxes that you could check, whether it was spending time in prayer with God, whether it was reading scripture. There's just a bunch of different boxes to check and kind of a to-do list to do. And so our goal is not that we're giving you guys a longer to-do list or more things, because ultimately these habits of grace, they don't earn your relationship with Christ, right? They're ways and tools to experience a deeper relationship with him. And so that's the goal for our series. And so today I'm going to be kicking us off walking us through Nehemiah and looking at prayer. And so what's the best way to start off a talk about prayer? You're correct. We're going to pray. So y'all join me in prayer real quick. Lord, just want to pray for this time. God, just that as we look through the book of Nehemiah, God, we just get a chance to see how you've allowed for us to have a method of grace in which we get to talk to you, God. We get to bring our burdens, our concerns, and our fears to you. And as we walk through this passage, God, just help show me and show everyone in this room, God, just the ways in which you want us to connect with you. In your name, pray. Amen. So before we dive into the actual text, this is hopefully a more friendly question. Are there any Marvel fans in the room? Anyone like the Marvel movies? Okay, we've got a bunch. Again, Die Hard, watch all of, DC is also good, but watch all of the movies, TV shows, YouTube. If you want to talk to me afterwards, would love to. But do y'all know who Jarvis is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Most of y'all do. Okay, for those of you who don't know, you're probably familiar with Iron Man. And Iron Man has kind of this AI operating system that he can talk to really whenever, that is all-knowing, that has a bunch of power and can help him navigate through situations. When he's in distress or when he's in trouble, Jarvis can help with his suit. Right, when he's worried or concerned, Jarvis can kind of tell him what's going around in the situation. And that's a lot, I think, of how we can view our relationship with God, especially when it comes to prayer. Right, we've got access to an all-knowing, all-caring God. So a God that knows everything, he created everything, but more so than just that power, he also cares about us deeply, right? He knows you fully, and he loves you fully. And we have access to that God in prayer. I think another way to think about it is, I think, right, going back to the first photo, awkward Michael when I was y'all's age, I could sit up here and tell you painful story after painful story after painful story of ways I was just an idiot at a school dance or with friends or just embarrassed myself all the time. And if I had a chance to be able to talk to future Michael and realize, like, hey, here is kind of what's going on, and a chance to someone who now knows what has happened, I would have saved myself from a lot of embarrassment, to say the least. And so I think that's kind of how we can think about prayers, right? We get access to this all-powerful, all-knowing God, but I think sometimes we can limit what that looks like. We think that prayer is just something we do right before we go to bed, or we think prayer is only something we do to bless a meal, and it's just so much more than that. And so today, we're going to walk through just the first chapter and a couple extra verses in the book of Nehemiah. And so for those of you that have never approached Nehemiah, it is really a book about a guy who finds out that his homeland and his family has kind of fallen apart. And because of that, he goes and he attempts to rebuild and ultimately does get to rebuild his city. And so that's a high-level overview. But what we're going to see in the text today as we walk through it is just that he gets burdened by what's going on with his family, and that he goes to God in a couple of different ways. That for me, when I first actually looked at this passage, it just changed the way that I looked at prayer. Because prayer was this really dry thing that I never enjoyed. But after looking at this passage and seeing the different ways that Nehemiah interacts with God, it really opened for me up for me the idea that there are different ways that I can interact with God myself. And so if y'all want to turn to Nehemiah, it is okay to use the front of your Bible to figure out where that is. We're going to be in chapter 1, and I believe we've got the verses on the slide as well. And so Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 4 say this. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakai. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So basically what we see here is we see the context I was talking about, right? One of Nehemiah's brother comes, and he's like, hey, how's everybody doing back home? And his brother's like, hey, not well. The walls have fallen down, which just means that their city was destroyed, and a lot of the people are in exile and are not doing well. And so we immediately see in verse 4 that Nehemiah sat down and wept, and for days he mourned and fasted. This is actually something that's really encouraging because we get the chance to pray when we are burdened, when we are scared, when we are anxious, or when we are troubled by something. And so we get to go to God whenever there is something going on that concerns us and causes us to have these emotions. There's actually another verse in Matthew 11. Later on, you have to turn there. It'll be on the screen, where it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Situation where this really hit home for me. So this summer, my dad, I'm from Mississippi, like I said, my dad's the reason I love Mississippi State for the most part. He ended up having to have heart surgery. And so I literally found out one day, I got a call from my parents, hey, we were supposed to go to California for a whole week with the family. And they basically said, hey, we can't go to California. Your dad's gonna have to have heart surgery. We don't know the severity of it. We just know that we can't travel because the doctors don't want us that far away just in case something goes wrong. And so I went from literally laying in the pool in our backyard to getting off this phone call, nervous, anxious, burdened, and worried about my dad. And those are just emotions that I don't often feel because I didn't know what was going on with my dad, right? They didn't know what was going on. They're back in Mississippi, they're 7 hours away. And so I got the chance just to take that to the Lord, where not only was I concerned about what was going on with my dad, but I had emotions myself that were causing me, again, anxiety, that were causing me to be burdened by a situation. And yes, like I prayed about that situation. We're gonna see Nehemiah do that in a second. But I also prayed for my emotions, and that's where we see Nehemiah here. For you guys, right, it very easily could play out with family health, where you may have a grandparent or you've got a family member that's going through something and it causes you to be scared or nervous or worried about them. And those are good things to take to the Lord. The Lord doesn't want us to hide that from him, right? He encourages us to do this. Maybe it's fitting in socially, right? You're at a situation where you realize, hey, there's gonna be a lot of people. I don't really know a ton of people there. And I'm just worried about what they're gonna think about me. Or I'm worried about how I'm gonna look or how I'm gonna fit in. And those are fair emotions that are okay to take before the Lord. The Lord wants us to go to him and talk to him about how we feel about certain situations. We're gonna keep reading the passage a few more verses. Verses 5-8 says, then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Here, guys, it's really cool because we see Nehemiah repent. So he's really upset with what's going on. And then he immediately goes to the Lord and is like, hey, Lord, we've fallen short. I myself have fallen short, but my people have fallen short. And I know that this is what you promised us, but we get the chance to do that, right? We get the chance to pray, to humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we need him. So there's a level of humility and a level of relying on the Lord that we get to experience through prayer. So for you guys, right, you get to go with the Lord with whatever's going on in your life, right? Whatever ways you've fallen short of the Lord, you get to take before him. I've seen this play out several times in my own life where there's been times where, right, maybe there was a conversation where I was way too angry with my wife and I just did not talk to her in a respectful manner and treated her just in a way that was not how the Lord's called me to. Or maybe I did something wrong to a friend where, like, I lied, or maybe I stole something, or maybe I manipulated them in a way because I wanted something to happen. And it's good for me to go to them and apologize, right? Especially with my wife. It's good for me to go and apologize and own my mistakes, but it's important to go to the Lord first and tell him how we fell short. I think the thing to see here is that we see that Nehemiah relies on the Lord desperately. For you guys, right? Maybe it's, hey, when things are out of control, you don't really trust the Lord, whether that's on a big test, and you're like, you do it yourself. Maybe it is you do cheat, or maybe you just don't rely on the Lord and you get stressed and overwhelmed because you're not trusting the Lord with that. You can go to that with him, right? Maybe it's you don't believe what God says about you. You're worried about what other people are gonna say and think about you. And that's just consumed your mind and your thoughts, and you realize, hey, God, this is something that I've cared too much about what other people think and not enough about what you think. And you get to take that to the Lord. The reason why we get to do this, right, is because ultimately we know that we have a God that, yes, is all-knowing and knows everything we do, but also is all-loving, right? He knows that we've fallen short. There's not a person in here that's perfect. There's not a perfect in here that's not going to sin, but God made a way for that. He sent his son on the cross, and we can trust the fact of what the gospel says, that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. And because of that, we can talk to God about where we fall short and confess that and rely on him in those situations. So kind of the last part in Nehemiah 1, verses 9 through 11, if you want to read with me, says this: "But if you return to me and obey my commands, that even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king." And so the last thing we see here in Nehemiah 1 is that ultimately Nehemiah goes to God with the problem, right? He doesn't just go with his emotions and his thoughts and concerns, which is helpful. He doesn't just go to the Lord with where he's fallen short. He ultimately goes to him with the issue, right? This summer, like I said, with my dad and the heart surgery that he had, I was praying a ton about the doctors that were going to be performing surgery. I was praying about my dad's actual heart, that it would be healed, however that was possible. And ultimately, spoiler alert to that story, the doctors did their work, and so my dad is fully healthy now with a pig's valve for a heart, ironically enough, which is fun because he grew up on a farm. But we're able to go to the Lord with the actual things that concern us, and we see that here in Nehemiah, where he spent several days praying and fasting and spending a lot of time in prayer, going to the Lord with, yes, his emotions, yes, where he fell short, and ultimately, right, the things that are going on. Maybe for you guys, right, you've got a big test coming up and you want to pray about that. Maybe you've got a family reunion where you're walking into a situation where you don't know a ton of the people there, and you want to make sure that it goes well, or right, maybe you've got a big game coming up and you're wanting to pray for the game and that, you know, you glorify the Lord with your performance. And all that's really great, and awesome things to take before the Lord. Before we step in, though, because we're going to look at the first five verses, and this is the part that really changed the way that I viewed prayer, I want to go back to Marvel. So again, a bunch of Marvel fans that are in the room. I just want everyone, so for me, the reason to say Marvel, my all-time favorite movie is The Avengers, right? It's the moment when all of the Avengers come together for the first time. I want all of you to think about the first time you saw your favorite movie, though, whether it was Marvel, whether it was Princess Bride, whatever it was. Think of your favorite movie and the first time you experienced that movie. So for me, the first time I experienced The Avengers, I was playing in an AAU basketball tournament all day, and it was like the end of the day. So we're sitting there in the movie theater. We've got all 12 dudes in the theater sitting together, kind of all exhausted, eating popcorn, and we saw Avengers for the first time, and it was like incredible. Like I said, one of my favorite memories of all time. But that's not the only time that I've seen the movie The Avengers. I'm not necessarily recommending this, but I went back through and I watched all of the Marvel movies in chronological order. So not the order they came out, but the order that they actually happened. And I did that at my house, sitting on a couch by myself. I could pause it, I could rewind, right? I could change how I watched, because I wasn't just in the theater. So it was a different experience, but with the same movie. Something that I would suggest in several years, me and my wife actually went through and watched all of the Marvel movies together once we got married. So she had seen a couple of them. Like I said, I'm a Marvel nerd, and so we watched back through all of them, just the two of us, and it was another but awesome experience because I'm sitting there like poking her the whole time, annoying her with like random little facts that are going on and stuff. And so there's different ways that I've experienced the movie The Avengers based off who's going with me, who's sitting with me, where I'm sitting. But even still, one of the things that I did in college was anytime I had a big test, I would watch a motivational speech right before I took the test. I don't know that it helped me in any way, shape, form, fashion, but just to get me excited. And so there was times where I would watch just a clip of The Avengers, some of the like really awesome scenes right before a big test. Or even now, when I'm scrolling on my phone, right, I'll see a clip pop up on social media of Avengers and I'll watch it for 30 seconds or 3 minutes. And so the reason that I bring this up is to show you guys that my relationship with the movie The Avengers has grown over time because the way that I've interacted with it has changed. It wasn't just the one time when I saw it in the theater with my boys and just enjoyed it. That was awesome and great. There's other times when I watch it in full length, even though it's long. But there's times when I do much shorter versions or I change up who I'm watching it with that change the way and deepen the relationship that I have with Avengers. And the same thing is true with our prayer life with the Lord. So y'all, five more verses, we're gonna wrap up real quick. So in Nehemiah 2, it starts off, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that's a fun word, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. So if you haven't been keeping up so far, right, Nehemiah gets news that his people and his homeland are not doing well. He's burdened. And so he prays and fasts. So we see this really great example that we've just walked through for a little while now on ways to pray. He did it over a long period of time. And so then he goes to his king. So he was living in another land and he goes to his king and says, hey, king, I wanna go and do something about this. And so the king says, hey, what do you want? And then we see in the text here where it literally says, Nehemiah prayed to God. I don't think Nehemiah said, hey, king, 1 second, and then went back and prayed and fasted and spent days, right? We can logically deduce that was just a short prayer where he was like, hey, God, I need your help right now. And then he asked the king for his help. And so the book of Nehemiah is great. You can go in and read. Spoiler alert, he gets to go back and rebuild the city, which is really great. And the king allows him to grant his wish for what he wanted. But what I want us to see here is that experiencing God in different ways through prayer is often necessary, right? So it's on the screen. Experiencing God in different ways through prayer is necessary. Nehemiah could not have stepped back and prayed about his emotions, the ways that he's fallen short of the Lord, or right, what exactly was going on in a long period of time. He had to pray for a short amount of time and just say, hey, God, I need you right now. And he got to show his reliance for that, right? We don't often have times where we can spend weeks, hours, days, even a couple minutes praying over a situation, right? There's times in our lives where we just got to pray, hey, God, I need you right now. Or, hey, God, help me with this, right? For myself, with my dad over the summer, there was a moment where, really more than a moment, but the surgery came, right? So I'm back in Mississippi. It's my mom, my brother, and me all in the waiting room. And so we had kind of decided, hey, it's going to be a 5-hour surgery. We had all been praying for weeks about this. We're not going to sit there and pray the whole time during the surgery. We're just going to probably get more anxious. So we brought board games and play and prayed. But we briefly, when he went into surgery, as soon as they wheeled him back, we all sat there and we prayed, hey, Lord, let your will be done. And that was it. We prayed one sentence and then we kind of went throughout the rest of our day. Funny story about that. So 5 hours later, we get a call and my mom just looks at me and my brother and is like, hey, the doctor said they want to talk to us in the waiting room. So we're going to go walk to in the conference room. We're in the waiting room, about a 30-yard walk. And so me and my brother look at each other, and that's all my mom said. And so what we realize is, hey, the doctor did not say he's okay, and he wants to talk to us. Logically deducing, my dad has probably passed away. So we look at each other, and we're like, all right, mom has not realized this because she's, like, happy. So we both just looked at each other, prayed real quick, Lord, help us, started walking. We get about halfway to the conference room, and my mom turns around and goes, oh, the doctor said he's fine, everything went well, it's all good. And so my mom did not communicate well, but again, another chance where we prayed real quick for a situation that ended up thankfully not being a situation because everything went well. For you guys, right, one of the main ways that I think this could apply for you guys, if any of you play sports, odds are you're not gonna be in prayer the entire time you're playing the game, right? You've got a lot of other things to think about, and it's okay, but either before the game or at moments during the game, it's good to just be like, hey, God, help me glorify you today. Or hey, God, whether it's right before a big test, just quickly praying, God, I want to glorify in what you do. Having these short prayers help build our reliance on the Lord. Ultimately, what I want us to see is that experiencing God in different ways through prayer is beneficial for our relationship with him. So experiencing God in different ways through prayer is beneficial. It's important to have time when we spend quality time, right? It's important to have time where we spend long periods of time praying for the Lord. But it doesn't have to be days or weeks of prayer and fasting, right? That might sound overwhelming or intimidating, but we shouldn't just pray in short, quick prayers. Our teaching pastor, TA, often says quantity of time, so length of time, leads to quality time. So in Nehemiah 2, right, it wasn't possible for him to spend a super long amount of time, but we saw it in Nehemiah 1. Both are important to do. And if you're like me, I'm guessing that you're on the shorter side of prayer. Right, you're good at praying the shorter prayers, maybe not as often as you should, but praying on the longer prayers is the thing that's harder. The thing that I want to challenge you with real quick is that think about if you only had short amount of times with relationships, how that would go. Right, a lot of you guys are in small groups on Wednesday nights, and so imagine if on Wednesday nights you're only allowed 20 minutes with your group. Right, that group would not grow as much as it does normally, and it wouldn't be really beneficial. Think about with your friends. What if you were only allowed to talk to your friends for 5 minutes at a time? You've probably got some friends that you're like, that would be nice, they wouldn't annoy me as much. It's fair. But for the most part, right, you wouldn't have as deep of a relationship with God. And so that's my question, or with your friends. So that's my question. Why do we do the same thing with our relationship with God? And so, again, as someone who is on that same side of the problem of only praying short prayers a lot of times, I'm going to leave us with three ways, just practical tips, in which you can try something new that'll hopefully help lengthen your prayer time. And so if you literally later, you can Google 10 ways to improve your prayer life, and an article from Watermark will pop up, and I'm just going to highlight three of the ideas that they have that I've used before. So first one is prayer cards. Literally take an index card, write a topic. So family, school, sports, a big topic where you can every day, I do 7 of them, so every day I've got a different topic that I'm praying for. I can write specific prayer requests down. Secondly, they call it walk by prayers. It's just when you're walking around. So when you see a friend, when you're walking around, maybe you walk around your neighborhood, you can pray for specific house, right? When you're walking around school, you can pray for a friend whose locker you see. And then the third one is prayer times. So I've got times throughout the day where my phone alarm goes off and it reminds me to pray. Obviously, there are times when you need to have your phone put up and it's not helpful, but I have one that's at 9:38 every night. That I pray for my wife. My phone goes off. It's normally when we're kind of winding down for the night. And at 9:38 every night, I pray for my wife. And that time isn't always a super long time, but it's kind of a periodic, rhythmic thing that I've learned to do. You can pick whatever time you want. So I've got one as well that's 1:15. My birthday is January 15th. That one's pretty straightforward. And that's when I try and pray for myself and pray for what's going on. So I'm going to leave us with a quote real quick that really helped me when it came to Habits of Grace. And so if you'll put that on the screen, there it is, great. Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. And so to put it in an extreme, our greatest fear should not be that you maybe fail at some of these habits of grace, right? It's not, it is not a problem to try and not do it well the first time, right? It is good that you're trying. Your biggest fear should be of succeeding at a religion that was just checking boxes and you never met the relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason I leave this is this was me for a long time. I had a relationship with God that was checking boxes and it wasn't actually experiencing them through these habits of grace. And so my hope is that as y'all continue to walk through the series, you would just try a few of these different ideas and not be afraid to fail, but that you would ultimately have a chance to succeed at something that really does matter with a relationship with Christ. So I'm gonna pray for us and then we're gonna roll. Lord, thank you so much just for this time, God, where we could come and just worship you. God, just pray for these students as they're in schools all across the city this week. God, just that in random moments, God, they would remember to rely on you in prayer. God, and that they would also try and cultivate some time where they can spend extended time in prayer with you. Just be with all of us and help us to be a light for you wherever we go. In your name, pray. Amen.